Are those human remains? You guys have a permit for that?
Shut the fuck up, Philip.
Cliff, you don't talk to me like that.
You want me to beat your ass?
I'm just-
Fuck out of here, Philip!
I will eat your sweater vest for dinner.
Always been a fucking douche.
Let's get into a movie I actually really like, and I'm happy that it's being talked about, because if it wasn't nominated for Oscars, people wouldn't see it. It'd be forgotten about. American Fiction, I think, was one of my surprise favorites of the whole year. I saw it Christmas Day. It was like it was this Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall. There's a few others I hadn't seen yet. Poor Things. It was actually between Poor Things and American Fiction. I went for American Fiction just because I was like feeling something. You know, I'm alone on Christmas Day. I wanted something a bit more uplifting, and this was so fun and like heartfelt and funny and just such great performances up and down the board. So well written from like a directorial debut, like so many good stories. So many people getting like to play against type, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I mean, what did you think about it?
Yeah. It, you ever see that meme of Timothy Dalton smiling, and then there's like a painting of Timothy Dalton smiling in the back, and it's like when a writer's main character is also a writer, and it's like it's basically like a mirror image of themselves. Uh-huh. Like that's what I was thinking about. It's like anytime I see like, okay, our hero is a writer and no one's publishing his work, and it's like, oh, and so it's just like, oh, okay, like this is the Timothy Dalton meme in a movie. But it really was actually a little more cartoonish than I thought it was, given your elevator pitch. And that doesn't mean that it's bad, but I was a little surprised at kind of how goofy it gets.
Yeah.
Especially the main story, like the straightforward part of the story. And
I didn't want to give it away. Like I kind of, in pitching it to you, I kind of stayed true to the trailer where, you know, it's Sterling K. Brown and Jeffrey Wright just having a ball, you know, together, and like this lavishly gay brother, and Jeffrey Wright, it's like pretending to be this incarcerated writer. But I didn't want to kind of give away the heart of the movie, which is like this really soulful family drama.
Yeah. The straightforward family drama definitely. It is catnip for Bob Pantalone, the domestic drama. And I think that's where the movie really succeeds. And I think some of the other elements when it comes to him getting the book published and some of that wackiness, I think the Adam Brody moment specifically in the diner and like later on when they're doing almost remember the Wayne's World ending where they're like, let's do the Scooby-Doo ending. Now let's do the straightforward ending. Now let's do the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The Hands Around the World ending. And it was like, they were kind of doing that little bit there. And I was like, oh, you could have just kind of done this more directly. And I think I would have left with more thoughts and feelings than what
I did. I think they could have gone for like the Good Will Hunting, the Son of a Bitch Stole My Line.
Yeah, Son of a Bitch Stole
Cut
My
to
Line.
Cut to the Elliot Smith needle drop and just a car driving down the road. I mean, I don't think they needed to go so wacky with the multiple endings. I think that kind of robbed a little bit of the sentimentality for me.
But then I do think they ended up sticking the landing when he goes to get in the car and he sees the guy like waiting to do the slave movie in the back lot. And clearly it's a commentary on Hollywood and what sells. And I think one of the main through lines is, you know, white people don't want the truth. They just want to feel absolved.
Right. Yep.
And
white guilt.
I think the publishers of the book and how they changed to fuck, and then the book judging and the jury. And I thought that conversation between him and the other author, I thought that was a really interesting conversation about perspective and judgment, because he comes from a very judgmental space in that, and he projects a lot.
For sure. And Issa Rae, you know, doing a pretty, I mean, I haven't seen her main show. Is it Insecure? But, you know, a very subdued, I think, understated role for her, which again, a lot of people playing against type. I thought it was cool to see.
Yeah, I thought she was really good. I thought her scenes were really nice. I thought, I didn't necessarily buy him and his relationship.
Oh, right, the woman that he meets in whatever that was.
Yeah,
the Hamptons.
Yeah, I did like the moments with his brother. I thought the moments of with him and his mother and the Alzheimer's, and I think there was a lot of nice things that happened, but there was just some tonal shifts and when it got kind of wacky, I was like, oh, we could have just kind of stayed on the train tracks here. That was some of my feelings.
For sure. I mean, I do like that Sterling K. Brown got in there for Best Supporting Actor in terms of the nominees. I thought that was well-deserved.
Yeah, I didn't really think. I wasn't necessarily blown away, yeah. But it was a nice character.
For sure. No, yeah. I feel the same way.
Jeffrey Wright's interesting. How do you feel about Jeffrey Wright?
I've never really considered him in a serious way. I mean, you know, he played a pretty solid Bond sidekick, right, in the Daniel Craig movies, Felix Leiter. I thought he was solid in those movies. He's always just been solid, and I really like that he got, like, a lead role.
He's in that element of he's a heightened performer. And, you know, it's his deep voice and his affinity for diction. And it's I'm doing a bad Jeffrey Wright impression. But it's like, and I think it's because all the Wes Anderson movies that he's in. And
he's very droll, right? He's very monotone and droll in that stuff. The Westworld, the Wes Anderson.
Yeah, and he fits in those worlds, kind of these surreal worlds, really well. You know, I almost kind of put him in the same, go with me here, but almost like an Anthony Hopkins, where when they're wearing blue jeans, it's weird. You know, you kind of have to be in a heightened or a, I hate to keep using the word surreal, but almost like a surreal movie for that vibe to really fit. Almost like a Rami Malek. You know, it's like, it's weird when they're in regular movies. Right. And I kind of feel it. This works because of the extreme intelligence. This guy's a genius, you know? And so it's like, it plays and it's funny and he's able to slide into the thug character and there's that dichotomy there. So it works in this movie, but I was always like, oh, he's always somebody that I expect to be in a Bond movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know? Just like a guy, like a character actor filling in the side, like just filling in the scenery in a way. And for him to be front and center, and for, you know, this guy Cord Jefferson, who's written on a bunch of TV, you know, he's written for Veep and Succession, so he's done comedy, he's done drama, like big shows. For him to be like, I want Jeffrey Wright, my number one choice, and then for him to agree, you know, having read the script, I think it was just a cool coming together of like a guy's, you know, what's the term? Like, what's your ultimate reality for your life? And then you put out ridiculous, goals, and then for them to come true. The production of the movie is a cool story. And
I love this scene when he was in like the Borders. And he's like, why is this man's books? He's like, I'm this writer, and these books have nothing to do with African-American, like anything. He just picks up all the books he's reordering. I'm just going to have to put them all back when this is done.
The guy running after him. I'm just going to have to put them back. Yeah. No, there's some really nice moments. I think kind of like the Holdovers in a way, where it's not sappy. It's not a comedy. It's a drama with comedic influences. This is like more of like, I guess, a comedy with dramatic tones. I just love that blurring of lines.
Yeah, you know what I mean, yeah, I agree. It's more comedy. It's like 65% comedy.
I love that 60-40 either way.
I think and there was a nice scene when he's reading his sister's will, basically as her eulogy, and they're about to go dump the ashes, and the like asshole neighbor walks by and he's like, hey, are those human remains? Do you have a permit for that? And they're like,
get the fuck
you.
Out of here.
Fuck you. Get out of here, Gil. You've always been a fucking douchebag. Just like, that was the Matt Hayes character.
Oh my God, yeah.
Hey.
I just.
Those public remains.
Actually, I could see A.G. Miller in that role with like the sweater tied over. I love finding humor in deeply dark moments where like they're burying a sister who you would think would be a character for the rest of the film, and then you just get this gut punch, and then a moment of levity in that gut punch, I think is just brilliant storytelling.
Yeah, very, very Donnie in the Folgers can.
Yes.
Very.
The fuck, Walter? Oh shit, dude, I got some on your.
The hell does this have anything to do with Vietnam? Well, it does.
Oh God, the best spreading of ashes seen in any movie.
I can't.
The Big Lebowski. Anyway.
This one comes yeah, in second, for sure. But it's not as good.
All right, well, cool. Definitely a thumbs up. I think the first two here.